I'm actually pretty thankful that I don't think God has called me to preach, because I'd definitely be one of those that went long. My wife will agree with that. A burden for everybody else since I was a little kid, I think. I want to back into what I have on my mind a little bit. I shared it with Brother Ward back a couple of weeks ago, and just in small degree. But I want to start with Matthew 23. And I'm going to read a lot. I'm sorry. I struggled to narrow it down a little bit, and so I'm going to read a lot, but I hope that the least we get out of it is we heard the word spoken, and we should get something from that. So in chapter 23, Matthew, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat," meaning that they sit in the place of authority that Moses and Aaron established in the old law. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. Be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then he goes on into woe unto the scribes and all of the costs of what they have done. And so it's an interesting kind of mix here, where he's saying they are called to teach the people, to even criticizes them for not speaking to the proselytes, to those that would come in to the Jewish faith from the outside, but they're not even giving showing them the way of the Lord. They're reading the word like I just did, but instead of living that word out, they are seeking to be grand, seeking their own both monetary and benefit from praise. And so this is what they got out of the law, is that if I can be put in this place of authority, I can be popular. I can force other people to do what I want to do. And so now to my text, which is in Hebrews 12, 18. Hebrews 12, 18. "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burns with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses had said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the Mediator of the New Covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, and that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So our starting point here is, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched. The mount of a physical worldly law. So God gave the law to the people on Mount Sinai, and we'll go there in just a minute. And he made himself visible in a cloud on Mount Sinai. And he gave unto them this law. And it was a law of things that they should accomplish, how they should respect God, how they should respect each other. And they were afraid. It was a fearful thing to see that cloud on the mountain and the thunderings and the quakes, and knowing that they could not draw close to him. But we are not called to that law. We are called to a better covenant. But let's go real quickly to that, because it's a really powerful scene, which I often, I think, read through quickly. And so we'll start in Exodus 19. Start in Exodus 19, verse 9. And this is where they have come up to Mount Sinai, and God is telling Moses that he's going to appear to them and give them his commandments. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So Moses is telling God all the issues. And God says, okay, I'm going to come to them, and they need to prepare themselves. They need to wash their clothes. They need to sanctify themselves, put away the dirt of the desert that they've been marching through, and come before God. And he's going to come on the third day. So two full days of preparation to lead up to this third day. And thou shalt set bounds around the people, around the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall be surely stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mountain. So now going back to Hebrews, this is the description, right? So the reference he's talking there is this scene where there's a bound around the mountain, and the people are to come up to the boundary that they've set. And if any animal or person crosses the boundary, there is commanded that they would die. That there's only so close that they were allowed to get to God. They couldn't get closer than a certain amount. Otherwise, the penalty of death. There shall not be a hand touch it, but he shall must surely be stoned or shot through. In verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes and said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives, and it shall be to pass, And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and in a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was altogether a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. And I think it's interesting, it says here, God answered him by voice. So Moses has been talking back and forth with God, but the voice of God wasn't likely out loud. There are only a few places that God speaks audibly, and he's doing it on purpose here because he wants the people to hear what he says to Moses. And the Lord came down upon Sinai, Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. So he had set the boundary, he told them what the rules were, but he wanted Moses to remind them that if they cross over, he doesn't want a bunch of them to die because they crossed the boundary. It's a reminder to them of the rule. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it. I'm not sure what these bounds were, but it was very clear. What Moses is saying here is there was a wall or there was a line, or they had set bounds, something that the people couldn't cross easily to keep them safe from this boundary. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. All right. So that's the setting. And after this, God gives Moses the law. And we read, commandments that he gives Moses. And he gives a lot more law, so much so that we lead into, he's up there for 40 days, and they have the golden calf and all those things that proceed. So here's the scene that we are talking about in Hebrews. A people standing in the face of God, and it's dark smoke, and it's scary, and it's not a place of peace. See, that difference between how God interacted with the Old Testament tribes and how he interacts with us is very distinguished here. And we ought to be so thankful for that. But I imagine to myself, I often do this, I say, if I only saw what they saw, I would be more faithful. If I only saw the cloud of smoke, if I only heard the thunderings, if I only saw the face of Moses and glowing from having been in the presence of God, I would be more faithful. But here Paul says something the opposite in Hebrews. He says that I went to the wrong page. It's interesting, in my Bible, all of the Sinai is on one page, and all of the other is on the next page. All of Sion is on the next page. He says, we are come unto Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, sprinkling that speaketh better things. We ought to be more faithful. That's a weird thought. Because we in our humanity think if we see something with our eyes, that it ought to have more impact on us. It ought to cause us to be more reliable. It ought to change us more. But what is said here is God speaking to us from heaven in our hearts ought to be more to us. He is more intimate to us. We are not set at bounds to see him from a distance. We are in close. He is in us. He is working his words on us, and not alone. An innumerable company of angels. The same innumerable company of angels that came to the shepherds at the birth of Christ are here with us, praising God, giving us reassurance, giving us strength. Can we see them? Most of the time, I admit to you, I can't see them. Because my natural eyes are the thing that I get so caught up in, and I lose that closeness where I see him. And I see his angels. And to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, that's you. The church of the Jesus Christ that have come together, we see one another, but we shouldn't see one another with physical eyes. We get so caught up in who's here and where they are and where they're sitting, but that's not what we're supposed to be seeing. We're not on Sinai seeing the cloud.
Right.
We're here with the Spirit of God. We should be seeing the people. And we go to Sister Debbie's funeral yesterday, and there's a moment in there as all of our church sat together on a row together, and a little piece of me was like, how weird is that? That's odd. Because all of those people in there, I'm gonna assume all of those people in there are children of God like us. They're family to us. And yet we're seeing with worldly eyes and drawing boundaries, seeing God from a distance, not appreciating the love that they have for God, the love that they are trying to show for Sister Debbie, for what they've been blessed with, and we separate ourselves in some way.
Right.
Don't we do that from day to day as well? Seeing the people of God out and about and separating ourselves, creating these borders. But when we come together, even more, we should be seeing God in each other, not each other. It shouldn't be about the physical. It should be about God working in us for his righteousness. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Past tense, written. We're not talking about those who might be. We're talking about God's children from all eternity who are written in heaven and are here with us. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Not to their physical bodies, but to the spirits of the people that have been made complete by God, by Jesus' blood upon the cross. So I'm going to take a personal thing back here and remind us all that we are in Him complete. Because sometimes that border that I'm drawing and I'm not stepping over is because I see I'm still seeing with physical eyes and I see that I am not complete. I'm a failure. I don't study enough. I don't pray enough. I don't give peace and comfort enough. I don't show enough grace. I don't give enough to my friends and family. And I get distracted by my phone and I ignore my children. And I do all of these things. I am incomplete. And yet I am complete in Him. And if I see with the spiritual eyes that He's given me, that I don't go back to Sinai and I don't look upon God as the cloud and thunderings in the sky, and instead I see Him in me, working in me, complete in me, I can draw close to Him and I can draw close to you. And to Jesus, the mediator, the coming together, the blending of, the glue, who would work on both sides. He is God and He is man. He can work both sides. He is the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling, His blood, which sprinkled on us, we go back to the purification that was done of the people, right? The part of the purification was the sprinkling of blood upon anything that was going to be brought to God for sacrifice. The sprinkling, and that was a symbol of Jesus' blood being sprinkled on the people to bring that purity to them, that God would behold them, to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So Abel here is the tie back to vengeance. So when God came before Cain and says, "Where is thy brother?" He said, "My brother's keeper." He said, "Your brother's blood cries out from the ground." That is the cry of vengeance, that I deserve justice. And this isn't the justice is done. There is no cry of justice because Jesus paid the price. And we are still seeking justice in our own lives, against our own selves, and against all them who are outside of these walls today, and what they have done against us, and against God, and against whatever. And the sprinkling is done. And we have an opportunity to see God. Not here, but here. And here, that we would see God in a way that they never could. Because they saw smoke and fire. And we get to see Jesus, the mediator of our sins and peace. I pray that we would show and we would see that grace and peace to each other. We would show that grace and peace to his children wherever they are. When we see God working, we should glorify him for the sprinkling that Jesus has done to make us complete. What a blessing. Thank you.